Welcome to Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, the show that focuses on the power of hope and the strength that grows up when standing on a foundation of possibility. This is Growing Hope, where we are gathering the keys for unlocking hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Catherine Lang.
Hello and welcome to Growing Hope, where we are creating the organization for our lives and around our lives that will move us forward in purpose and on purpose. I am Catherine Lang and I am your resident Hope Smith, here to find the fuel that will fire up your possibilities. Every journey requires fuel. My husband and I differ greatly on how this looks when it comes to the car. Once again, proof positive that God has a sense of humor. I was taught that when the car fell below half a tank, it was time to fill up the vehicle because you never knew when something was going to prevent you from filling up the gas tank again. I mean, there's nothing more challenging than to be driving down I-65 in Alabama and have a wreck block traffic, literally both lanes of traffic, for 3 hours. If you didn't have a full tank of gas, you'd be in trouble. But my husband missed this message somewhere along the way, because he's one of those that when he sees the gas gauge moving down into the red zone, it's a challenge. It's not a warning. It's a challenge. Can I make it? This means that on more than one occasion, we have coasted into the gas station. I don't want to go through life coasting into the station. I want to be fueled up and ready to take on anything that might come at me. That means I have to be invested in the hope and the possibility. I have to do what I need to do in order to be able to focus on and walk out this journey. It's not just about pouring into my mind the words of encouragement and hope. It's about being the best me that I can be right now. Several years ago, I attended a conference session to learn more about launching a speaking career. I really wanted to talk. I know, it's shocking, right? So the line to meet the presenter after her presentation was very long, but I waited patiently for my turn because it was really something I was passionate about doing. The lady two spots in front of me was dressed to perfection. I mean, she had the perfect clothes, she had the perfect hair and makeup, she was the perfect shape and size. So she gave her little spiel to the presenter, who smiled and nodded, and then the presenter looked at her and smiled and said, "People want to hear people like you and what you have to say." Now, she may not have intended to do what she did next, but what she did was look at me. She flipped her gaze my direction as if to tell me that people didn't want to hear from people like me. See, I didn't look like that lady. I'm 5 feet tall and I'm very curvy and always have been. But I heard that lady loud and clear. I knew I wasn't the right shape or the right size, and I knew that I never wore the right clothes. And why would someone want to hear what I had to say? Only, when a heart is hurting and a heart is reaching out for encouragement and hope, that heart's not concerned with trendy jeans. When I finally realized that, I changed my focus. And when I changed my focus and I embraced where I am right now, even if I want to be more or better or different as I move forward, but when I embrace where I am right now, I position myself to make the most of that right now. I still need to keep aiming higher, but I always have to appreciate the moment. I can organize my body, or I can tidy it up to be more, to be the most, to be the best. And I do that by accepting this moment and then moving forward from here. I tidy up my body, or I make the most of this moment, when I follow a few simple ideas. I get enough sleep. I get enough movement. I get enough care. I get enough fuel, and I get enough downtime. And here's the catch. I get enough for my body and for the needs of my body, which means I have to make a choice to listen to my body. I have to learn my body and make the better and best choices for my body. Again, it's simple. It's all simple. It's just not always that easy. They have a lot to say about what I need. They have a lot to say about the amount of sleep I need and about the amount of water I need and the amount of butter or not butter, or the amount of sun or not sun, the amount of coffee or no caffeine. The list is never ending and it's always changing. Because what I need more of today, I will likely need less of tomorrow. I think that's one of the ways the world keeps us on our toes. It keeps changing the rules so that we stay off balance. I read somewhere that I needed to get 8 hours of sleep every single day, and I just heard that teaching from someone recently. It is what allows you to be healthy, the expert declared. Only I rarely need 8 hours of sleep. As a matter of fact, the only time I usually need 8 hours of sleep is when my body is fighting something off. Most nights, I go to sleep around 11 p.m. and I get up most mornings by 5 a.m. without an alarm clock. And 6 hours is about optimal for me. I can get by with even fewer hours on some days. But too much sleep, and I get nothing done. As a matter of fact, I learned that if I wake up, then it's probably time for me to get up. That's just the way my system works. I don't mean I was startled awake or anything like that. I mean, I woke up without an alarm clock. Sleep's different for me than it is for others. It's different for me than it is the people in my house. It's probably different for me than it is for you. I have to find what works for me, and you have to find what works for you. But if I listen, and if I will learn, and if I will apply, then I can make the best choices for keeping a tidy body. I need to find my way, because it is the only way that will work for me. Believe me, I've tried a lot of different ways that they have declared as the right way. In the past, I would determine I was a failure if the way they declared didn't work for me. It took me years and many of those failure feelings to begin making my own way. Now, I still try new things all the time, like a raw food challenge recently. But I learn from it instead of letting it dictate my direction. I need to learn if I'm going to make a better way for my journey, and I need to make a better way if I want a different way for my life. I make a way for a tidy body when I make some simple choices that work for me. One, I need to get enough sleep. While I was writing Practical Proverbs, I did some research on sleep and what was the right amount of sleep or the correct amount of sleep. One report challenged me to go without an alarm for a whole week, but to go to sleep when I was tired and to get up when I woke up the first time. After a week of not using an alarm, I began to discover that most nights I only slept for 6 hours. It worked for me. My husband cannot do 6 hours. He needs at least 8. My children need even more. If I need to get up earlier, all I have to do is go to bed earlier. By listening to my body, I have found what works for me. My key is to get up when I wake up. If I wake up while it's still dark, I will close my eyes and try to go back to sleep. I give myself 20 minutes. If I don't fall back asleep in 20 minutes, I get up. However, if I wake up close to my normal wake-up time, I go ahead and get up. By listening to my body instead of an alarm clock, I have found the schedule that works for my body. 2, I need to get enough movement. Everything functions better when it functions. There was a time when I was always on the go. I hiked, I swam, I skied, I played sports, I ran, always something. Even when I had kids, we still did stuff, and I was always out helping get things done. I don't know when things changed, but I do know that one day I looked up and looked around and realized how very little I moved throughout the day. Yes, I'm a writer, and yes, I do online broadcasting. I spend most of my days crafting in some shape, form, or fashion with words, but I'm learning that if I will take a moment throughout the day to stretch or to go do some yoga positions or to go for a walk, that it allows my body to feel better. And when I feel better, I focus better for the crafting of those words. I need to get enough movement for me. That is what makes me feel better and keeps everything working at its peak performance so that I can continue to walk out my unique design. 3, I need to get enough care. And by that, I mean from my hair down to my toes, literally. If I look my best, then I feel better and I can do more than if I worry about how bad I look. Because I work from home, I was always sitting around in my sweatpants with my hair pulled up and out of the way. If someone needed to meet with me, then I had to take a few moments to try to get ready first. And I have a lot of hair that could be completely unbehaving and do its own thing. So there was a lot that I needed to get under control. When I decided to look at what I was doing as a true business, I began getting up and getting ready for my day every day. I even went to a local thrift store to purchase some nice pants and some nice shirts that cost me a dollar each so that I could use them as my running around clothes, but be ready for a meeting at the snap of a finger. I also got an incredible haircut that is specifically for my hair. The hairdresser thought about and watched how I worked and did so that this haircut works for me. I even get up every morning and put on basic makeup. Simple, quick, easy. If it's going to take a long time, I know I'm not going to do it consistently. But I am learning how to care for my body, and so I feel better about what I'm doing. 4, I need to get enough fuel. Several years ago, I took that raw food challenge and I discovered all types of new flavors that I have incorporated into our menu. I also found a system that encourages you to eat when you're hungry and not eat when you're not hungry. It works for me. Trying to measure out food or restrict certain foods never did work, especially when I was trying to feed my family. Instead, I choose variety and I try to stay as natural as possible, in part because it tastes good. That is the way I not only get the right amount of fuel, but the best fuel for me. And 5, I need to get enough downtime. Every day could literally be filled with 18 hours of going. There are enough things that need to be done and probably even more that should be done. But I need to slow down. I need to recharge. I need to rest and not just sleep. For me, downtime includes time to read, or it includes time to sit by the pool in the sun. Even taking a long hot bath can be perfect for me to recharge. But if I make time for downtime, then I feel better and can do more when it's time to start back up. See, I have to take care of me. I have to take care of all of me. I have to take care of the mind and the body and the spirit if I'm going to be in a position to live out all of my possibilities. I have to care for me. And that means I have to be aware of how I'm sleeping and how I'm fueling this system and how I'm treating this system, how it looks and feels for me. Is it moving? Am I keeping it moving? All of these play into my ability to walk out what I have mapped out. If I want to pursue purpose, I have to keep my body tidy. It takes boldness to walk out purpose because the world will tell you that you have to do it the way they want and the way they have determined. I have to be bold enough to understand that I am unique and my journey will also be unique. Now, I can learn from others and I should learn from others, but I have to find my own unique way. I struggled with how I should eat and what I should eat for most of my life. Now, I come from a medical family, so they wanted to control the journey with science. But I also heard about all these fad options to control the journey, and I tried many of them. It's one of the reasons I hate beets. It was only after my second son that I had my breakthrough, where I learned to listen to the body that God had created, and I let that body drive me to choose better for me. I was encouraged to focus on my relationship with God, and through that relationship with Him, to begin to understand and live out my unique design. I began to invest in study and scripture and word and reading the scripture for myself. The more I studied the word and the more I began to grow in that relationship, the more I came to the place where I understood that eating was only part of how I was to care for my body. I needed to look my best as well, not because I wanted people to see me looking my best, or I wanted to peacock around, so to speak, but because I wanted to be a good steward over the body that God has given me, just like I need to make my home as tidy as it can be so that it looks the best it can look, because I'm a steward of this home. I am the steward of this body. This is the body God has given me, and I represent and honor Him through the way I care for this body. Paul shares his thoughts in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. It reads like this: Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The temple. You are not your own. When Christ died on the cross, He paid the price for who you are and what you are. So be a good steward over the body and honor God with the body. As an author, I am often told that it's important that I have a strong cover for my books, because people judge the book by its cover. The same holds true for me. If I'm being the best me that I can be, then the people will notice, and I will honor the God that has gifted me with the body I have. Paul also talks about the dangers of not caring for the gifts that God's given me in 16 and 17. It reads like this: Don't you know that you are God's temple? Don't you know that God's Spirit dwells in your midst, in me, inside you? The temple is sacred, and you are that temple. That was a powerful scripture for me to read, and a powerful concept for me to grasp. When I realized that I am the unique temple of God, that God, think about the Old Testament and how the awe spread around the temple, how people had to cleanse themselves a certain way so that they honored God and didn't defile the temple. I am that temple. That recognition changed the way I focused on how I was treating my body. It's not about me. It's not about what I want or what I think I want. It's about Him, about honoring God and blessing Him in who I am and how I am. I think about that presenter often who told the woman that people wanted to hear from someone like her. And I let those words hold me back because I knew I would never be like her. No matter what I did or I didn't do, I'm not made to be like her, because I'm unique and I'm different. And that's okay. I still have to care for the body I have, with all of its curves and all of its waves. The more I invest in learning what I need and how best to care for my body, then the more I can keep my body tidy and stand proud in my unique design. I can walk out my purpose in the way that I'm supposed to walk it out, and not in the way that she's supposed to walk it out. She's supposed to look like she's supposed to look, because that's how God designed her. I'm supposed to look like I'm supposed to look, because that's the way God designed me. I'm 5 feet tall. I'll never be a 6-foot model. It's not possible. but I can be the dynamite that God planted in this 5-foot body, because that's what I'm supposed to be. That's what it means to care for this body, to have a tidy body, to organize myself. It means to hold tight to the design that God crafted. I am Catherine Lang, your rainbows and lollipops host, because every day holds a promise of more and every action contains the power of possibility. It's not about what the world says or even what the world shows. The strength of hope and encouragement will and does push through the limits and the walls of the world. My prayer is and always will be that the words I share are helping establish foundations of hope that will shatter the delusions of the world around us. Remember, in all that you're doing, be blessed and be a blessing.
You have been listening to Growing Hope with Catherine Lang. Join Catherine back here to unlock thoughts and ideas for growing up possibilities and giving wings to the hope for life. Visit Catherine's website, www.catherinelang.com, to learn more about her writing or to sign up to work with her. Catherine offers individual, group, and corporate coaching to jumpstart your journey to success. You can find more shared encouragement and inspiration through the Quote of the Day and the Moment of Hope broadcast. You can also find Catherine around social media to connect and engage and grow up relationships that will foster this journey of acceptance, hope, and possibility. On Facebook, look for The Catherine C. Lang. On Twitter, use @CatherineC. Lang. On YouTube, you'll find her at The Catherine C. Lang. Until next time, remember that a seed of hope planted and nurtured will grow up into a world of possibilities.